Hey y'all, so I know we have wrapped things up for the season, but I wanted to drop this extra bonus episode here for you. We just wrapped up our winter Selah retreat. It was Selah in prayer, the making of a prayer warrior. It was absolutely such a phenomenal retreat. God did so much in like 48 hours. He really just showed up for so many of us. And we all have different testimonies of how we saw him move in our own lives. And so praise God for that. But I wanted to drop the sermon from the Sunday morning session that we had. A lot of times I get asked about either live streaming the retreat or recording the sermons, and I've never done it in the past, but I'm glad that I recorded it this time. I wanted it to be able to be available after the retreat for those that attended and for those who weren't able to. So this sermon is titled Deferred Hope and Divine Denials. This is for prayers that you're praying for a long time, or what happens when you pray and God says no. So God laid this on my heart. I could feel just like the weariness of the people specifically that were there. But even as I am posting this here, I feel the weariness of those who have been praying for a while and have yet to see God really show up. I pray that this sermon encourages you. I pray that it blesses you and gives you hope, restores that hope, and it gives you life to keep going and keep believing God and believing in him and trusting what he has already said. I was using a different microphone than I normally use for my podcast, so the audio is not the best quality, but I have tried my best to edit it to where you can still hear and it's still audible and it's still heard in a way that you can understand and be able to apply it to your life. So you may have to adjust your volume a couple times just because I get a little loud when I start preaching, and so my little clip-on mic was not having it. But I pray that you're blessed, I pray that you're encouraged, and here is the sermon. This morning, to close things off, talking about deferred hope and divine denials. Deferred hope and divine denials. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. I pray that it goes forth as it needs to. I pray that you allow what needs to be said, that you speak to the hearts, that you revive hope again. You would call us to pray again, to believe again, to dream again, and that we would leave renewed, refreshed, restored, ready to go forth, take territory, believe for the most that you have for us. And I thank you that you're so sovereign. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we've talked about quite a few different aspects of prayer. I think we didn't cover just about all of it by the end of this retreat. We talked about the purpose of prayer, the power of prayer. We've had some powerful moments. We talked about praying in the spirit. We talked about praying over our bloodlines, praying over our families. Last night, it was praying for ourselves, making sure that we were right with God. Because if we're going to be prayer warriors, if we're going to lead the next generation, if we're going to stand for truth, if we're going to stand in the gap for our families, if we're going to intercede, we have to make sure that we can come before the Lord correctly. And these are all great. But what about those prayers that you've been praying for years? What about the prayers that you feel like you're just praying and praying and praying? You're not seeing anything come from it. I would be remiss if we didn't talk about that too. If we just talked about, you just pray, store up the seeds, praise the Lord, it's going to be great. That is exciting, but there's the reality of things don't happen on our time. There's a reality that we get weary from praying. That's why the scripture says don't grow weary, because he knows that we can have the capability to get weary. He knows that we're human. That's why it's so amazing. And it's such a blessing that we have a Savior that understands, because he walked here on earth. He became flesh. It says, the scripture says that we serve a God who knows how it feels. So we're not serving a Savior who said, sorry, sis, can't relate. You're on your own with that one. I don't know about that. He understands. Deferred hope and divine denials. So what about the prayers that you're praying and your body still isn't healed? What about the prayers that you pray and it doesn't go how you think it's going to go? What about the prayers that you're praying and you're still not seeing your marriage restored? You're still not seeing your children live the way that you want them to. You feel like God is just making you wait, and you're praying. You're like, God, I don't know how much longer I can wait. And you get a little boost, and you keep on going, but you're weary. Proverbs 13:12, that's what this
message is going to be based off of Proverbs 13:12. If you want, I'll give you a second to turn to it. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. We're going to focus on that first part. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. So like I said, we're talking about deferred hope and divine denials. So to defer, the definition of something being deferred is to be put off to a later time or postponed. So it doesn't mean completely canceled, but it just means that it's put off for a while. So you can put off an action, you can put off an event. So when we're talking about hope being deferred, that means that hope is just holding on, but you don't know when that later time is coming, and you just keep, I'm trying to hold on. But the longer it goes, the more your hope gets deferred. The issue is not that something is deferred. Here's the thing. If you see a flyer and it says, if I were to say Selah retreat postponed, I would hopefully give you a new date. So you would be bummed out. Oh man, I got to rearrange my schedule again. Or, oh man, I was really looking forward to it, but I can look forward to this next thing because I have the date. The issue isn't that something is deferred. The issue is that we don't know the postponed date. That's where we feel. If God said, Marilyn, you're going to get this promise over your life, boom, right now, but you're not going to see it until 2025. You'll be like, oh, okay, that's a little bit away, but you have something to look forward to. You start marking down the calendar. But he does, a lot of times he's not giving us a date. He just says, you got to wait. And you're like, are you going to say something else? Were you done? Because I was still writing, right? Like, ooh, promises of God. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, okay. And then he just, that's it. That's all for today. And then you're left with the unknown. That's the part that makes us weary. If I knew I planned to see today, I'll see it in 6 weeks. I'm not weary. I'm not really mad that I don't see it coming out the ground because I know I have a promise that the back of the bag of seeds says bloom in 3 weeks, have a this in 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks. Cool. I'm excited. If I plant a seed and I'm watching every day and I don't know when it's supposed to grow and it's a bamboo tree. And I don't know if you know about bamboo, but they will stay like dormant for like 7 years. And all of a sudden, in one time, boom, will sprout up. If nobody told you you had a bamboo, you think you got a little flower pot, right? You say, ooh, I'm going to water. I'm going to be a plant mom. You got your little cute little watering pot. You got your routine. And days are going by, weeks are going by. And nobody told you, oh, by the way, you're not going to see that for 7 years. If no one tells you the expected time, that's where the hope gets deferred. That's where the heart gets sick. And that's it. I would be so remiss if I didn't mention this part about prayer. Because what happens when you go home and you're like, okay, I got all this scripture. I got all of these tools. Selah retreat was amazing. I got breakthrough. I got this. But what about this one prayer? And you open up your notebook and your heart gets weary even just looking at it. Because you know all the prayers and all the hope. And maybe this is the moment. Maybe this is the moment. Just like I preached last night about the prodigal son with the father. His heart maybe got sick. He maybe got weary because he didn't have an expected date on when his son was coming back. And every day somebody else comes down the road and he thinks that's him, right? You're expecting to get married. And maybe you meet a guy who is almost right, but just not it. And you're excited. Oh, that didn't work out. Okay, back to the basics. Man, I really thought this was the time for me to get my healing. I just felt it. I saw her get healed. Nope, not my time. Okay. What about when God doesn't answer in our timing? And he doesn't know when we will see the answer to the prayer. Maybe you have a glimpse of the promise, but you don't see it in totality, so you don't know. That's where the weariness comes into. I'm talking to the people that have been praying for years about some stuff. Not the, I prayed about it twice and it didn't work out. So praise the Lord. I'm talking about you got it written down. You got verses for it. You've done all the spiritual things, right? I've been fasting. I've been praying. What happens when it's still not working in your timing? Can we talk about it? I'd be apt to say that your heart is sick. Maybe you came here with that. You came here with a weariness. You came here with a sick heart. Believing, and you've been smiling and you've been getting a lot of great things, but in the back of your head, there's still that one thing like, are you really able to come through for that? Because based on how long I've been praying, I'm a little concerned. Maybe you don't want to tell God that, right? You don't want to tell God, I'm doubting you real hard on this one. I believe you for just about everything else, but that one thing? I know they said you're more than able, but based on my timeline, time's up, buddy, right? we don't want to try to tell God that. We're like, hey, God, it's me. How about that one thing? Can we discuss it again? Just wanted to, you know, check. I wanted to check on the tracking. Can I get an update? Has it left the store? It's still on the shelf. Okay, got it. No one's put it in a box yet. Got it. Okay. The warehouse burned out. Okay, got it. That's how it feels when we're like, can I just get an update? You'll be okay with just an update. You're like, Lord, I'm so content in you for the most part. I'm so content that I'm okay if I have to wait. But can you just tell me how long, please? The issue is when we don't see it, the final date. The good part is that you serve the one who does.
Amen.
And that's your promise. You're not serving a God who's also trying to figure it out. He's not. If you ask him, he's not like, well, actually, I don't know. Let me go check on it too. He's like, let me go talk to the manager. I'll be back. I don't know. It's in the back. He said, no, I know. But this is a process with me.
Amen.
Right? So me, I'm not giving you an expected date today. Sorry. But I will give you some tools that and promises that you can cling to as you wait so that your heart doesn't get sick.
Amen.
Because the word of God is what's going to give you that hope.
Yeah.
I really believe that God wants to restore your hope to believe again, to dream again, to pray again for that one thing. Because here's the thing. A lot of times when your heart gets sick, you don't want to pray for it again. Because when you pray for it, that's building up hope again. And you don't want your hope to get depleted because then now it's led to disappointment and you're tired of being disappointed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'd rather just not pray about it at all.
Amen.
It's an easier fix.
Yeah.
It's a coping mechanism. Why would I keep praying and going through the cycle? Oh, sis, I think this is it. I think this is the time. Oh, sis, girl, it wasn't it. Back to the bottom. And when you're disappointed, a lot of times we start sinning because we're disappointed. Now we're angry. Now we're bitter. Now we don't even want to pray about anything else because, like, why would I pray about anything if you won't even answer that?
Yeah.
And now we're bitter towards God, right? And in Hebrews, it says that the root of bitterness, that means that thing can get up in you and bloom seeds and it'll have a hold on you. I considered doing a character study on Hannah and how long she had to pray for her son. Considered doing it on Abram and how he had to walk through, travel to the land that the Lord said, come on out of your foreign country to a land that I will show you. Abram's like, where are we going? He said, just come on. I'll let you know on the way. What? I considered doing a study on just others that waited on the promise, right? Because then not just Abram waiting on the promise of going to the promised land or going to the land of Canaan, but also he was promised a son. Still waiting on that. Abram's already old, Sarai's old. You know, there's a lot going on. But I wanted us to just study straight facts. Not look at them, look at what they did, but just straight facts from the word of God. Straight promises. The only antidote, the only cure to a sick heart is truth. That's your medication. That's your surgery that you're getting done. The only antidote, that means the thing that can fix it, the opposite of said thing. The only antidote, the only cure is the truth. That's the only foundation you really have, right? If you don't know, if you have a promise, you're believing God for something, and you don't know when it's going to happen, the only thing that you have is the word of God. You may get, you know, word of knowledge here and there. Somebody may prophesy, but it all should be based on the word of God. So let's go back to the word of God. So we're going to have four different verses that we're going to unpack. And this is going to be your tool belt for those that are waiting. This is your tool belt. You want to name one a hammer, a screwdriver, a wrench, whatever you need, right? For whatever said day. Because some days you need this promise. The other days you're like, this is the one I'm going to cling to, but you have to hold on to something because or else you're just going to be going with the wind and the devil will blow you into bitterness, blow you straight into doubt. So you got to have something to hold on to. So the first verse we're going to unpack, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Verse 20, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Does it say for some of the promises? For all the promises of God in him are yes, and amen. Amen is a Hebrew word to mean let it be, or it is so. So you're, yes, amen is I'm standing in agreement with said thing. For all the promises of God in him are yes. Here's the thing. We have to assess our prayers to make sure that the ones that we're really believing for are actually promised. Because sometimes, and I've been there, and the reason I'm saying is because I've been there. Sometimes we're believing God for stuff that he didn't necessarily promise us. And now we're mad about a promise that he never said we was going to have. It's like if you're sitting down at Christmas and you're mad that you didn't get a 52-inch TV, but nobody told you you were going to get a 52-inch TV. They told you you were going to have a good time. You was going to eat some food, right? But no one, the TV wasn't promised. Same thing here. Let me be the bearer of bad news. We are not promised a man. I said it. Now we are believing God for one. Amen. Amen. But it's not promise. It is. But here's the thing. People will be like, well, God said it's not good for man to be alone. Sure. That's not necessarily him saying it's not good for man to be alone. So you are absolutely promised to get married. It's not a promise. Now we see it. It's very common. It's a blessing, but that doesn't mean it's for everyone. We're not promised a six-figure job, $1 million home. We're going to speak that in advance. Oh, hey. But we're not promised it. So if you are in a season where you are weary, assess the prayer. A lot of times it's very easy when we had our singleness retreat, right? We talked about, you know, praying for a man and stuff like that. But it's very easy to get weary when this person's getting married and they're already on kid number two and she got this going on. And here I am, always a bridesmaid, never a bride, right? You're like, another bridesmaid dress. Got a whole collection, right? You already know the whole wedding. How's it going to go? All right. You can be a wedding planner. You're like, sign me up. I know how this goes, right? And you're getting weary because it's like, God, what about me? God, what about me? And I get it. And it's great to pray for a man. Lord, if you want to bless me with that, let it be so. And if you want to, here's what I want, okay? Make it specific. But it's also saying, Lord, if not, and if not, that's in Daniel 3. This is what the Hebrew boy said when they were, or Hebrew men, when they're about to be thrown into the fire. We'll go in and praise. And even if he doesn't deliver us, he's still God, right? And so that can be summed up. I had some people will quote it, and if not, he is still good. Yeah. Sometimes it takes getting to that point. Mm-hmm. So that is that you can hear that and be like, oh man, I'm not promised this. That's kind of lame. Let's talk about what we are promised though. Yeah. We are promised that he'll never leave us or forsake us. Amen. That's what his word said. We're promised that he has good plans for us, even if they don't match our plans. Yeah. And I'm gonna talk about that in a second. We're promised that his mercies are new every morning. We're promised that nothing can separate us from his love. Amen. These are the promises. I'll read those again. We're promised that he'll never leave us or forsake us. We're promised that he has good plans for us. Jeremiah 29:11 already let us know that. We're promised that his mercies are new every morning. And we're promised that nothing can separate us from his love. So cling to what is promised instead of focusing on things that may not necessarily be promised. You're promised that he'll provide. It may not be the exact job, but it'll be what you need and it'll be provision. A lot of times, and this is just a hard thing to wrestle with, but it has to be said. Some of us are holding on to plans for so long that may not be promises. We're praying plans that we've made, not necessarily promises of God. And because we wanted them for so long, we've believed it, and maybe we've seen things here and there that seemed like signs or seemed like confirmation. I get it. I have been there. But you can get weary if you're believing God for something that he may not necessarily have. But what he does have will be good. It will be exactly what you need. And you'll look up and say, wow, I was praying for that, but this is what I got instead. So that's what we can pray for. And that's what we can believe. So that's 2 Corinthians 1:20. The second verse is Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. This is straight up God's character. God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not fulfill it? So this just straight up said God can't lie. If somebody were asking, what's something God can't do? Lie. Be void on his word. He can't lie. So it says if he said it, we have to believe it. So let's stick to the things that he has said. Let's pray those promises over our life and let's believe those. The great part about God, he's not fickle like man. He's not one day this, one day that, going back and forth. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't switch up the plan. He doesn't decide, no, I'm not loving today. I was loving yesterday, but I woke up on the wrong side of bed. No, he is the same. And that's amazing. And I thank God for it. Like, thank you, Jesus. Y'all should take time and say, thank you, Lord, that you can't lie. There's a quote from a book. Some of you may have either read it or heard about at least the author. The book is called Holier Than Thou by Jackie Hill Perry. She's another phenomenal woman teacher of the word. And the book is all about God being holy. And she said, if God can't sin, then he can't sin against you. Mm-hmm. If he can't sin against you, shouldn't that make him the most trustworthy being that there is? I'm going to repeat it again. If God can't sin, right? We believe that. God can't sin. He's holy, completely holy. Then that means he can't sin against you. If he can't sin against you, logically speaking, shouldn't that make him the most trustworthy being? And here's the thing. We've put more trust in people than we've put in God. But then when things go wrong, now we turn it back on God. That's not his character. Even if they have the title of Christian, whatever, they're human. We can trust God. We can trust God. He can't sin. He can't lie. So that means that he can't betray you. That means he can't backstab you. That means he can't cuss you out. And even though y'all were friends yesterday, he can't sin. He can't lie. He can't hurt you. Now, there are things that go on in our life that God allows that may bring pain. Death brings pain when God allows people to die in our family, when God allows if a situation. But that is not him hurting you. God can't sin. God can't lie. He is the most trustworthy being. We've put trust in people that have let us down 100 times, still trying to believe the best of people. Some of y'all have just really kind hearts and you just keep trying to believe the best of people and they keep showing their character and they keep showing the same thing. This is who I am. This is who I am. But no, maybe they'll change. God lets us down one time and we're mad. Well, God, let it be Pookie Poo back at the house. Oh. Y'all back talking about he gonna get it together. He just working on himself right now. He working on you. He working on the girl over there. He working on. But let Pookie Poo call your phone right now. You will run out this room. Hello, hello. I'm out in the woods. I can't hear you too good. If I'm lying, I'm dying. I know. Let God not answer one of our prayers and we don't want to go to church no more. Sister Pooh, where you been? Well, you know, like I'm just really mad at God right now. Like I asked him for this job and like I really like thought that guy was the dude I was gonna marry and it didn't work out. So like I feel some type of way. And now I'm believing the lies of the enemy. And yeah, I feel like he doesn't have good plans for me. So like I'm gonna just do my own thing because I prayed once and it didn't work. So I'm going to just go trust in man instead. Pookie Poo. Trust in the one who can't lie. Amen. That means if he said something, you don't have to believe, well, I don't know. I think he's going to trust in the one who can't lie. If he told you something and he promised it, it will happen. Don't let the enemy deceive you into thinking that God has changed his mind about you. Ain't that what he did in the garden? Did God really say that he has good plans for you? Because these don't look like good plans. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants you to look at your life and think, you're right. This has to be fake because these aren't good plans. I'm going to skip ahead real quick. I woke up at 3 a.m. about 3 weeks ago, and I had been talking with different people about God's plans and stuff like that. And I got this revelation about why we get so discouraged when our plans don't go our way. So I'm going to just read it out. These are just my thoughts. This is not scripture. We plan and we make plans for our day. A lot of times our day goes reasonably as we plan. So somehow we begin to feel like we have a false sense of control over our lives. I made my schedule. My day went pretty much according to my schedule. This is why we get so disturbed when something comes in and wrecks our plans. Sometimes it's something traumatic. Sometimes it's just because we're faced with the reality that we aren't always in control of every moment of our lives. That's where the stress kicks in. When we plan, we don't normally plan for things to go wrong. We don't plan for accidental death. We don't plan for drama. We don't plan for the hard moments, right? You don't add that into your schedule for the day. Plan to get in car accident today. You don't plan for that. Our plans include all the easy times, all the logical things that make sense. Life adds in the other stuff. This is why we're so confused when God tells us he has good plans, but then our life seems to fall apart. Because in our heads, good plans don't include hard moments. In our heads, good plans don't include hard moments. That doesn't make sense to me. I'm not going to plan to have a miscarriage. I'm not going to plan to have a divorce. I'm not going to have plans to lose all my friends or lose all my money. I don't plan that. That's not good. So this is why we're so discouraged when God says, I have good plans. Trust me, I have good plans. Come this way. And you go this way and you follow him. And now your bank account says, I don't know about them good plans, sis. Define good because, right? Right. Perhaps could it be that his good plans allow for hard moments? Perhaps he's sovereign enough to still work it out for our good. It just made so much sense to me when I woke up thinking that. We plan, because I'm a planner. I like to make plans all day. I make lists every single morning how my day's gonna go. And I thought about it because I had a list for the day, and my day went pretty much like I planned. I did all my stuff. I hung out at the house, worked all day, you know, nothing crazy. And so that's when I thought about it. What if I had walked outside and broke my leg, right? I would be concerned. I would be a little upset. I didn't write that down in my schedule for today, right? That's where we get discouraged. Our good plans don't include the hard moments. When you say, where do you see yourself in 10 years? Divorce with 3 children. You won't say that. In 10 years, I would have expected to have 3 miscarriages. My mom died, my grandma. You don't say that. You plan all the good moments. I would like to be this. I would have to have that. So I want a nice. You plan all the good moments. This is where the gap happens. Our plans, God's plans, hard moments in between. We're like, hold on now. That I don't know. And now we're concerned with what good is. Don't let the enemy and or time deceive you into thinking that God has changed his mind. Because we will remember the whole time thing, right? That's the part that makes us weary. That's the part that makes our hearts sick. Don't let time be a deceiver. God told Abram, you're going to have a son, right? Sarai said, I'm 100. Time, boom. That's where time came into play. That was her immediate response. But I'm old. Time comes with age, right? So she immediately was like, I don't think that's going to work because of time. We have the same response. I don't think this promise is actually for me because of time. And now we don't think God is a good God. We love saying, oh, God is a good God when we get a new car, when we get a new house, when we get a new this. Is he still a good God when you have to wait 10 years? But will he not fulfill his promises? Because we're not going to let it come out our mouth, maybe unless we're really mad. We're not going to let it come out our mouth and call God a liar. We feel like that's, you know, a little blasphemous. At least I hope so. You know, I hope we have a little conviction about that. But we're not going to let that come out of our mouth, but our actions say otherwise when we stop praying for it, because he's giving up. He ain't going to do it. Your actions have just said, God, I don't believe you. I don't believe that you are who you say you are. I don't believe that your characteristics are unchanging, because this situation, you've changed. You've switched up. Wow. Here's the thing. Somebody said this. I don't know where I got. Maybe the Holy Spirit just gave it to me. I think it was, I don't think I got off a video. Either God is a liar or he's working it out for your good. That's the only choice, two choices you got. Either God is a liar or he's working it out for your good. That's it. There's no in between. So that's verse number two. Verse number three is a lot more common. Romans 8:28. Speaking of working it out for your good. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. So somehow, some way, God is in it and he will work it out for your good. Yes, even the thing that you've been praying about for years, he will work it out. It's not my job to tell you how. If I did, I would be calling myself a psychic and this would be a whole different kind of retreat right now, right? We ain't doing none of that. I will never say that I know exactly how he's going to work it, unless the Lord has given me a prophecy, a vision, a word of knowledge. Besides that, I don't know how he's going to work it out. That's not my job, nor is it yours. But we love trying to figure everything out, right? And a lot of times we have to figure out different things in our life. We're a lot of time when you're the woman in the house, you are, you know, responsible for a lot of things working out under your control. But don't get deceived to think that you have full control over your whole life. This is a common verse, Romans 8:28, and sometimes we believe it for other people, but we don't believe it for ourselves. Yes, God will work it out for them. Oh, I see it working it out for her. Praise the Lord. And you're looking at the one thing like, I don't know if he's capable of that though. Right? You think God can work out this thing in my life, but surely not that thing too. This is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. How is he going to use that? How in the world is God going to work this out? You may say, how are you going to use me when I'm waiting on family restoration? How are you going to use me when I've miscarried? How are you going to use this car accident? How are you going to use this death? How are you going to use this divorce? How are you going to use this broken friendship? This is when we have to just surrender and believe that he's sovereign and that he's in control. And that he will come back on his word, because his word says that it can't come back void, and that it's going to work out somehow. And I know you may hear me preaching some of these verses and encouraging you, and you're like, but what does Steph know about waiting? I had a chronic heart condition for 24 years, born with the heart condition. So that's 24 years of either myself or someone else praying for my healing. I was born already under parents who were in the faith. So, I mean, they were praying for me from the moment I was in the hospital when I almost died at like 3 weeks old. The doctor said, there's nothing more we can do for her. We've tried everything. We don't know what's wrong with her. Basically, go ahead and make some funeral arrangements at this point. My mom got the prayer warriors to come to the hospital, lay hands. I went home in like 3 days. Nobody even, the doctors were like, we don't know what happened. We were basically telling her to wrap it up, call it a day. But even from there, I was healed in that moment, but I still had a condition for 24 years. All the doctor's appointments, all the trying to figure it out, and all the tests, and everyone saying, sorry, we don't know, we don't know, we don't know, we don't know. Finally got a diagnosis 21 years into it, but there still was like, there's nothing we can really do right now. You can get surgery when you're like 50 if you want, but besides that, you're living with these symptoms. By this point, I'm in the faith, I'm serving the Lord, still having that. So praying, 24 years worth of someone praying for this specific issue. God supernaturally healed me 2 years ago, and we praise the Lord for it. But I tell people, I did the calculation and I figured it out. I had a heart condition for 8,946 days. God healed me on day 8,947. What happens if you stop praying? You don't see day 8,947. The Bible says he has all of our days written. He knows. And it was crazy because the night that I got healed, it was such a miraculous way and it's such a cool story. But that day set me up ministry-wise. He put me in rooms with people that I would not have, it wouldn't have worked out any other way. And that moment when I was, after I gathered myself and realized what happened, I was just writing and just processing with the Lord. And God said, I allowed it until this day for a reason. And you'll see more of the reason why. And I'm seeing more of the reason why. He could have healed me on day two. And that could have been it when I got out of the hospital. And that would have been a great testimony. I almost died in 3 weeks. The Lord saved me. Woo! And that would have been great. Praise God. Somebody would have gotten blessed by that. But God allowed it. Now I get to minister to people who have chronic heart conditions or just chronic conditions, period. Because I get it. I've been there. I know what it is to be like the woman with the issue of blood and go to all the doctors and for everyone to say, there's nothing more we can do. I've spent all my money and you just got to live with it. God also set me up. Like I said, that was a shift in my ministry from who he aligned me with, who he put me in the rooms with. That set me up for so much else. He could have, when I laid hands on myself time after time, fasting and praying, he could have done it. He could have done it when I was at the church house, when everybody was praying and believing for me. He could have done it when my parents were praying for me. He could have done it when I had a rapid response on the job. I was working as a nurse and I got a rapid response call on me as the nurse. I'm down in the hospital in scrubs and they're like, huh? They were so confused. While I'm on shift, I had an episode. Got rushed down to the ER of my own hospital. Isaiah 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is the one that's going to set some of us free. Divine denials. What do we do when God doesn't do, when things don't go as we hoped? We sure do. We throw a tantrum. What are you going to do after that? What happens when we prayed for healing and it didn't happen? Like ever, like they died. What happens when you prayed, I believe that's the man I'm going to marry, and he go marry somebody else. He's like, ooh, well, what happens when the job that you just knew was yours goes to the other one? You're like, she's not even qualified. I got 2 degrees. I've worked for 7 years. She just got here. What about the divine denials? What about if you went to that job and that was the same job that somebody was going to shoot up one day? God sees the full picture. Divine denials. If he's not giving it to you, there's a reason for it. If he says no, we don't like the no's. But if he's saying no, it's for a reason. Here's the thing. When God says maybe, it still gives us hope, right? When God says no, we sit with that a little funky for a second, right? I'm like, I'm gonna say okay, but give me a second, Lord. Just give me a second. No, no one likes no for anything. No one likes no. It's the no that hurts. And it's not even so much the no that hurts. What hurts is not knowing why God said no. And it could be something as simple as you driving down the highway and God says, don't take that freeway, take another one. And maybe you're like, God, that's going to add on 10 minutes. I'm already late. I still got to go to Starbucks. You know I need to get there, right? And so you go the other way. You just say, okay, fine, Lord, I'll go. But then you see on the news 2 hours later, there was a major car pileup. You're rejoicing. Yeah. Woo, thank you, Lord. You said no, I got saved, and you posted on Facebook, posted on Instagram. Y'all, the Lord kept me. I'm saved. That could have been me. What about when God says no and he doesn't tell you why? Yes. When he just says, take the other road, he never tells you why. What if he says, leave your former church? That was me. I'm like, where am I going? What am I going to do when I get there? now I see why, and now I rejoice. But in the moment, I was like, okay, Lord. What if he says, no, you're not getting that job? I know you went to school for it, but you're not getting that job. Because I know if you get that job, you'll make it an idol. You'll never go to church anymore. You'll meet the wrong people. You'll end up hanging out with the wrong crowds. You actually will walk away from your faith if you go to that job. So no, mm-mm. But maybe he doesn't tell you why. He doesn't tell you. That's the part that's frustrating. You would be okay. You would be a little bit more okay with a no if you could just, can you just tell me why?
Why?
No, not that man. You're like, can I get something else? Why not him? What's the problem? In my eyes, we good to go. I do. What about when he just says no? And maybe you find out 5 years down the road, oh, that's why he had someone better. But in a moment, it's just like, well, he's cute. He has muscles, right? Yeah. Think about in scripture when God told someone no. It was always for a greater purpose. There was always something. And even if the greater purpose was just so that we would be encouraged when we read scripture, maybe they spent their whole life trying to figure out why, and they didn't figure it out till they got to heaven. God was like, oh, but they're still reading about you now. Oh, wow, that's great. They died in the divine denial. They never got to understand why. But the thing is, if it's divine, then it's meant to happen. And then that's when you add in all the promises. If it's divine, then that means that he's going to work it out for good. Then all his promises are yes and amen, that he has good plans for me. So if he's saying no to this, then that's part of the good plan. And whatever he has will be good because it's coming from him. Amen. And all good gifts come from above. This is why we have to have the word stored in our hearts. Because you know how deceiving the enemy is going to be. Did he really say no to you? Girl, he told you, you don't. He didn't really say no. He just said, like, just wait. Like, no, he said no. But we can start getting in our heads about it. Did he really? Girl, he told you no about that job. Do you know how hard you work? He's supposed to be a good God. And he's supposed to have good plans. Don't look too good to me. And then he takes you up on a mount. If you do this for me, I'll give it all to you. If you could just take this job, it's going to have actually 10 times more money. You don't have to leave nursing to go do ministry. And be broke, girl. What happens when God says no? It's not the no that hurts. It's not knowing why. When no equals death, and we don't know why, we don't really get too sad when grandmama who made it to 95 dies, right? We're like, praise the Lord, she lived a long life. What about when baby girl's 9? What about when you lose your son? What about those denials, those no's? When the no means that I won't live a full life with them because I'm taking them now. I've been in the room with patients who have held their dying or dead, and they're crying out, God, why? And then, I mean, the whole room is just weeping. And it's like, no one has an answer. God, why? Why would you allow this? You may have gotten to that point with whatever it is. God, I know that I've been trying to walk for you. I've been trying to live for you. God, why? Deferred hope and divine denials. You don't understand. No, that's what makes your heart sick. That's what defers that hope. You get a no from God and you're like, this one's tough. You feel that flesh and spirit war. You won't always understand right away of why God said no. But this is why we need those verses as an anchor.
Amen.
In the storm. Are you going to cling to whatever the devil's whispering in your ear? Are you going to say, nope, my God is good. My God is faithful. He will never leave me or forsake me. You got to have some scriptures. I talked to someone last night. I said, you got to have verses that you're going to call out when the temptation comes, when the thoughts come, when the doubts come, when the bitterness tries to rise up, what are you going to speak over yourself, over your situation? It can't just be, I'm going to just, yeah, those self-affirmations, those things are great. But the truth of a living word of God, that's what's going to keep you. Amen. You don't have to memorize this whole Bible. Go for it if you want to. There's a lot of good stuff. But you don't have to memorize this whole Bible in order to have a couple verses to cling onto. So I want for a second, before we do the altar call, I wanted to call it promises over problems. Mm-hmm. Promises over problems. I want you to write down three problems that you can think of in your life. And then I want you to write down three promises that can go with them. Mm-hmm. Promises over problems. Promises over problems. Write down three different problems that you can think of in your life, and then write down three promises that you will cling to, that you're going to vow, I'm going to memorize these verses, I'm going to quote these verses, I'm going to speak these over my life. So for this last part, we've written down our promises. We have written down the problems that we can think of in our life, but the promises of God that we can cling to. And so I just want us to go into a time of prayer and uproot the lies that the enemy has whispered maybe for years, that has inbred doubt, that has planted seeds. Roots have grown of doubt, of bitterness, of even anger. You're angry with God because things didn't go how you wanted it to. And now it's hard for you to serve God because you're always thinking about that one thing in the back. The scripture says, John 8:44, that Satan is a father of lies. That means all he does all day is lie. That's his full-time job, is to deceive you. And what more would he want to do than to deceive you about the truth of the word of God, the truth of who God is? If he can get you to have your eyes warped about who God is, everything's changed from there. Because if you don't think God can't come through for that, then boom, now you won't serve him well. Now you won't live for him well. Now you won't love him. Now you won't follow his commandments. And I really want to pray for those who feel like your hope is deferred, to believe again, to pray again. Lord, I pray that you would resurrect hope. I pray that you would resurrect hope over your daughters, the ones who have sick hearts, who have gone maybe even astray because of the weariness. Lord, your word says don't grow weary, but sometimes we still are. Our hope has been deferred, Lord. We've stopped praying. We've stopped believing for your promises. We see everyone else have it, and we get a little tinge in our stomach. We're a little bitter. Lord, I pray that you would heal the sick hearts. You're the chief surgeon, Lord. Do your best work today, God. Give us the truth as our cure. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't leave this place with roots that need to be chopped up, the roots that need to be uprooted. Let us not go back with the same things, believing for other people, but not believing it for ourselves. God, I pray that as we're honest and as we're open with you, that you would meet us with love, that you would meet us with grace, that you wouldn't condemn us, that you wouldn't turn your back on us, that you wouldn't even be caught off guard. Nothing catches you off guard. So when we're bringing you our mess, when we're bringing you our emotions, when we're bringing you our anger, when we're bringing you our bitterness, you're not caught off guard by it. You already know how we feel. And I thank you that you will invite us. We will invite you in, and then you will just embrace us. I thank you that we can run to the throne of grace with confidence, that we know that you are a good Father who has good plans, even if they don't match ours. Lord, I pray that we would surrender all of our plans that we've held on to so tightly that we can't even worship you fully because we're so caught up in what things we need to do it and how it has to happen. I pray that we will relinquish that control, hands wide open, lifted up to the sky so that we can say, Lord, we trust you. When we raise our hands in worship, Lord, we're giving you our surrender, but I pray that it would not just be an outward expression, but an inward decision to trust you, to surrender to you, and let it be so. That we would not try to keep picking up the same thing. That we would stop trying to be God. Lord, help us to stop. Help us to just let it go, to cast our anxieties on you, to cast our cares and leave them there, not trying to run and find them and pick them back up again. Help us to stop trying to make a mess out of our lives when we're trying to do it on our own and have full control. I thank you that our plans don't go as they should, so that we can know who you are, so that we can be in control. I thank you, Lord, that your plans are good. I thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. I thank you for your promises to never leave us. I thank you that you are not a man that you should lie. So that means that everything that you say will have to come to pass. I thank you that you will work everything out for our good. I thank you that all your promises are yes and amen. I thank you for your word that we can continue to proclaim and declare and cling to in the time of need. I thank you for the hope that we have in you that is our anchor. Anything else in this world will fail us. And I thank you that it does. I thank you that we can't find our full satisfaction in anything else, because or else we would never seek you. I thank you that we've come up empty, looking for it in the bottom of a bottle. I thank you that we've come up empty when we tried to find it in a man. I thank you that we've come up empty when we tried to find it in our job, in our careers, in our success. I thank you that nothing else will satisfy, because we would never know that we need a savior if we found it anywhere else. I thank you that you are the only redeemer, that you are the only thing that will truly satisfy. You are the ultimate sacrifice given for us, so that we can come into relationship with you and find the best life that there is. I pray that you would renew hope again, Lord. I pray that you would renew that hope. Heal the sick hearts, Lord. I pray that you would help us to believe again. I pray that we would believe one more time, that we would pick that prayer back up, the one that we've shoved in the bottom of the closet, buried beneath all the doubt and bitterness, that we would pick that prayer back up, and that we would have enough faith to hope again, to believe again, but that we would also surrender and say, have your way, Lord. It's your will, not mine. If we've been praying prayers that may not be promises, show us, Lord. And if it is promised to us, help us to just have faith to keep believing. Lord, you're a good God. You're a faithful God. And you're more than able to come through on our behalf time and time and time again. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your plans that are good. I thank you, Lord, that you will heal our hearts today.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.